got two verses I want to bring you through. I want to talk to you guys. Oddly enough, it's funny, the things that we're praying about is kind of what I want to talk about a little bit here today. I don't know if because God is just kind of has a sense of humor. But in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, I want to talk to you about a man named Elijah. Now, Elijah was kind of like a pastor, kind of like, he was basically like a pastor in the day. He was a prophet. He'd speak the word of God. And a lot of times, especially back in the day, the prophets said a lot of hard things to people. They said a lot of difficult, they said a lot of challenging things to people. So it kind of turned out that sometimes people just didn't like to be around these guys because they would call people out. If they were messing around, if they were doing things they shouldn't be doing. So here's this guy named Elijah, and well, he kind of opened his mouth and he sent some pretty tough words to some people. You know, he just had this mountaintop experience. He just had this major victory that has happened. I mean, let's say brother was on a roll. Okay, he was praying, and there had been a drought in the land for years, and the rain hadn't fallen in his land, and all of a sudden, he prayed, and bam, it's just almost like somebody turned on the faucet, and rain began to pour down. And then all of a sudden, he goes up to a mountain, and there's all these people talking smack on God, and there's all these people who believed in another god called Baal, and they were out there, and they challenged him. They said, I think my God is better than your God. They said, my way is better than your way. They said, your way is wrong, it's flawed, it's jacked up. They said, you know, your way doesn't scientifically meet up with our way. So we challenge you to a duel of the belief systems. So all of a sudden, Elijah rolls up. He rolls deep, just himself, all alone. And the other people, well, they bring a couple of their friends, like 400 or 500 people. So all of a sudden, it gets kind of ugly, and it's a battle of the gods. The other people, the people who believe in Baal, they're cutting themselves, and they're yelling, they're shouting, they're doing backflips, and basically they're chanting, yeah, 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 you're getting crazy. I don't know if that's really what they said. I wasn't there, but I figure it says they were shouting, so maybe they were saying something kind of crazy. I don't know. But they were going crazy, and nothing happened, and all of a sudden Elijah, well, he throws a bunch of water around and basically sets up some carne asada, and he prays and says, hey, God, I need your help here, and boom, sucker catches on fire. One man versus a couple hundred. Well, the one man won because God plus one man equals anything they can throw at him. It equals more than anything they can throw at him. And all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't look too good for the opposing team, those who believe in Baal. Well, the queen of the land kind of heard this, and she's like, hey, these are my people you're taking down. He said, these are my belief. She's like, what are you doing? I'm going to kill you. Elijah, I'm going to kill you. So she puts the royal hit out. She gets her assassins and her armies, and she basically puts a hit out on Elijah. And Elijah gets a little scared. He's just winning. Bam, bam, bam. One after another. Just like hit after hit after hit. And all of a sudden, she says this, and he's like, bram, 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 bram. And it's like, it's like somebody just let all the air out of his balloon, and he just deflated. So what does he do? He runs. He runs. I mean, he beat hundreds of priests from another religion. He prayed and a miracle happened. Thing after thing. I mean, this guy is praying over a dead child, and the child raises to life. And this one woman says, I'm going to get you, sucker. And he's like, no. And he begins to run. And all of a sudden, he's running and he's on a lamb, and he's hiding. He's hiding out from all these people that are after him. So all of a sudden, it picks up in 1 Kings 19, verse 9. It says this. It says, there he went to a cave. He spent the night inside that cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And God said to him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? He goes on 10th verse. He says, he says, God, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts. I've been zealous. I've been excited. I've been passionate. I've been doing everything right for you and your people. But they've forsaken your covenant. They turned their back on you, God. They tore down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And now, the last one, they're seeking my life. See, here's what happens. Especially when you make a stand for something you believe in. is something happens where you begin to see oftentimes everybody who's against you, and we lose sight of those who are for you. You see, he made a stand, and Elijah felt alone. He felt the pressures of the world on him, and everything was caving in around him. And he thought, my life is on the line. And all of a sudden, I'm sure the question was going, God, you did this, and you did this, and I did this for you, and I did this, and now what, you're going to leave me alone? This lady's going to kill me? He's like, where are you, God? He said, God, if you're real, where are you? I thought you had my back, God, and now this lady is out to kill me. Where did you go? I was there for you, God. Where did you go? Because I'm feeling pretty lonely right now. I'm feeling pretty bad right now. I'm in a dirty, stinky, nasty cave, and there's a bat in here, and it's ugly. Because bats are ugly. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Saw one at camp. It's ugly. He said, well, God, where are you? Everybody's mocking me. They're making fun of me. They're saying what I believe is stupid. God, if you were there then, why aren't you here now? You see, that is not just something I think we all have or will face. If you haven't, give it some time. It'll be there. It's something we all face. And I think the reason we all face that is because it's one of the number one attacks that the enemy will come and throw at us. You know, it's one of the most classic, it's one of the most classic strategies in military expertise. Matter of fact, it's so classic, even the animal kingdom uses it. I mean, if you've ever watched National Geographic, if you've ever watched the Nature Channel, if you ever watched any of these documentaries, you know, I mean, we've all seen it before. The pack of wolves are on the hunt. The lionesses are out for the prowl. You know what happens. I mean, you have this whole arena of animals by the watering hole, and all of a sudden it's like, wah-ha-ha-ha! They come out and they go, and the lioness is running. And all of a sudden, you know, one giraffe goes, burp, and all of a sudden they send the call out, and all the animals start scattering. The zebras run. The wildebeest like, no. And all of a sudden, the lions are going, whoo, whoo, and the cheetahs are like, whoo, whoo, and whatever animals on the hunt, they're like going after it. And they chase them around, and they try to wear them down until they finally get the one weak one away from the herd. Because, I've seen it before where sometimes, whether it's an elephant or zebras, where they've beaten down lions before. I've seen it. They're just doing these crazy zebra kicks, bam, in the face, and they gang up on them, and they beat up the lions. Except for when this one fateful thing happens, is they can separate one from the pack. If a lion or a zebra, a predator, can separate one of the animals, whether it's a sheep or whatever, or a zebra or whatever, they can separate them from the pack, from the herd, then you know without a shadow of a doubt, it's like, oh, I know what's coming up next. I've seen this episode before. Somebody's having dinner tonight. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens. Is they separate the weak one from the pack, and they get it away from the herd, and they just wear it down until it goes down. The sick one, the weak one, the tiny one, the sad one. Oh. And they pounce on it, and they rip its neck open, and they eat it up. It's really sad. It's kind of gross. That's what they do. It's a divide and conquer tactic. Here's Elijah. He's going from place to place, doing thing after thing after thing after thing. God's showing up. God's doing this. God's doing that. Working through him. And all of a sudden, all it takes is the right words at the right time to separate him, to take him off course from his entire support system. And now what's he saying? I'm all alone. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. There's nobody here with me. So God says, get out of that cave, man. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why did you leave everything you knew? Why did you go away from the place where you were safe? Why did you leave my will? Because it's the first thing that the enemy would want to do is take you away from your support system, whether it's your friends here at church, whether it's your family. Hey, look, that's why families are so broken in this world. Because a family that's unified can do anything. A mother, a father, children. Even if you live in a single family, a single parent household, a mom and her children, or a father and her children, or whatever your family may look like, if you guys as a family are all in one accord, whatever your family may look like, you can do anything. with your faith. But when you get the mom mad at the kid and the kid mad at the mom and the kid hates dad or Uncle Joe or whatever the case may be, all of a sudden you and they all live under the same house. It's chaos. Nothing happens good inside of a family like that. Nobody's eating dinner together. You come home late because you don't want to see your mom. Whatever your situation, look, nothing good's going to happen there. Because it's divide and conquer. It's easier to pick people off when they're one or alone than when they're fighting together. That's the way it goes. That's what happens. And that's what happens. All of a sudden, Satan got Elijah alone in a cave. And all he could think about is how horrible he was. Oh, I'm dead meat. Gosh, I can't do this. I'm all alone. Nobody's got my back. Nobody's on my side. So God has to slap him aside and says, get out of the cave, fool. And he gets out of the cave and all these crazy the earthquake and fire and lightning and all the kind of crazy stuff. And God begins to whisper him. And says, hey, you're going to be, you just got to listen. Verse 18. God begins to tell him, I want you to do this, 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 and this. He says, you need to get back on track. Stop having your pity party. It's over. Put the cake away. Blow out the candles because this party's done. This is verse 18. He says, look, Elijah. And verse 18 says, I have reserved 7,000 in the country of Israel whose knees have not bowed to this false god Baal. Their mouths have not kissed him because that's the way they'd worship. They'd kiss his statue. It's kind of weird. Probably really unsanitary too. But he says, I have 7,000 people. So you think you're alone? Open your eyes, man. Open your eyes. You have an entire support system around you that is waiting to hear from you. They want to see God move in you and through you. He says, you know what? Even more than that, I'm gonna send you to a young man named Elisha. Man, it's so crazy. Brother's name sounds just like yours. Make the next couple chapters really confusing. He says, I'm gonna go send you some dude that's a young man, and he loves God as much, I bet, if not even more than you. And you're going to see him do great miracles. He says, you've never been alone. You just stop looking at those who are around you. And if the lion can get the wildebeest away from his pack, that wildebeest is dinner. But if he can keep them together, but if they stay together, I'll tell you, a dozen wildebeest can take out a lion. It's crazy. It's crazy when that stuff like that happens. And together as a church, as a family, we've got to do the same. You know, Jesus knows exactly what it was. In John the 15th chapter, Jesus is talking. And it's this huge, long, red letter portion. If your Bible has red letters with Jesus' words, it's like the whole thing is red. It's like crayon, man. And in John 15, Jesus is talking about these things. He says, look, guys, John 15, 18, he says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. He says, but you guys are still going to see me. The world's not going to see him, but you will. Because I live, you'll live also. He says, in that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father and that you're in me and I in you. He who keeps my commandments, he who has my commandments keeps them is he who loves me. You remember from camp, this is the part where he repeats himself a lot. He who loves me will be loved by my Father and I'll love him and manifest or show myself to him. And he continues on and he says, and basically what he's saying right here in chapter 14, he's saying, I will be with you no matter what. Now, John 15, 18, when you fast forward here, it says this. He says this. Now, he says, I'm going to be there with you guys. He says, now, if the world hates you, you need to know that it hated me before it ever hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, I chose you to come out of it. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant's not greater than his master? It's true. Servant's not greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, your master, they'll also persecute you, the servant. If they kept my word, then they'll keep yours also. All these things they'll do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him, Jesus. Excuse me, God, the Father who sent me, Jesus. A couple verses down, verse 26 says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, who I'll send to you, he's the Spirit of truth who proceeds, comes from the Father, he'll testify of me. You'll bear witness. You'll talk God's word because you've been with me from the beginning. These things I've spoken to you so that you should not be made to stumble. See, here's what God wants. Here's what God's saying to us here today. Is Elijah got stuck in a trap. Said, I'm alone and everything's against me. But he said, open your eyes, man. There's more for us than there are for them. He says, look, don't be discouraged. Don't be down. You start school, not everybody's gonna like what you're going to say. Not everybody's really on the Jesus bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to be Christian long time to figure that one out. And you know what? That's cool. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to hate on anybody. I'm not going to bash or talk smack about anybody because that's not my place. But my place is also not to be discouraged. Just because one person questions you, that's ain't no thing but a chicken wing, man. I mean, and that sounds silly because it is. One person asks you a question I don't know the answer to, man, that can't shake your faith. Because you don't know one answer. Because I'll tell you this, I got a lot of questions that I'd like to ask, and you don't got the answers to them either. But I don't need answers. I don't need answers to be strong. Elijah got stuck in this trap, and he separated himself. And were it not for him listening to God, who knows if he would have made it out that cave alive. Not because the queen would have killed him, but because he would have died in there alone in his own pity. See, if Satan can get you off alone, he doesn't need anybody to kill you. You'll do it yourself. Seen it happen before. How many times have you had a problem? How many times have I had a problem and you didn't tell anybody about it? You know what I'm saying? You're going through something. Oh, I can't tell them. What will they think of me? I can't tell them. What if they laugh? I can't tell them. I can't tell them. What if I get in trouble? You know what I'm saying? Say, if I tell my mom, I ain't going to tell my mom because I want to live and not die. It's true. I mean, you shouldn't be doing it anyway, but you know what I'm saying. I can't tell anybody what's going through because they won't understand. I can't tell anybody what I'm going through because I'm supposed to be a strong Christian. And strong Christians don't feel this way. People who believe in God, they don't ask these questions. I read a blog just the other day, and if I could say this, it really pissed me off. I know that's really strong words. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that word. But it got me really upset. It got me upset for numerous reasons. Numerous reasons. Number one is because how are they going to say that? And then I got mad because how am I going to judge them for saying that? Because that's a real question. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I got mad at them. Then I got mad at myself for getting mad at them. You know what I'm saying? Because they were really legitimate questions. And then I got mad at myself and said to myself, you know, why haven't I found the answers in the Word? Because I know I've asked those same questions. And it just set me off. And I was like, man, this really. Dumb. And I think maybe one day I might even read it to you guys once I get situated in it and stuff. It didn't shake my faith because I believe in God no matter what. I mean, you know, because I'm not scared of questions. I'm not scared of questions I don't even know the answers to because I know God's not scared of questions. You know what I'm saying? But it burned something up on the inside of me. And I thought, you know, these are the questions. And this is what got me really frustrated next. Which these are the questions that people ask all the time, but they're too scared to ask them. And because they're too scared to ask them, it puts them in a place between them and God where it slowly nags at them and it pushes them into that cave that Elijah was in. Because Elijah was scared. He says, you know, I'm a prophet. I can't have somebody pray for me because I'm the one supposed to be praying for other people. I can't let somebody else talk into my life because I'm the one that's supposed to be talking into their lives. I can't expect a miracle from me because I'm the one supposed to be giving miracles to other people. And if God can't give me a miracle, then you know what I'm saying? He started jacking himself up. I can only imagine with these questions. So if you're going through something today, the easiest way to lose your faith, the easiest way to lose that battle is by not telling anybody. Because if you keep it to yourself, you keep it in a place in your life that will never be healed. Till it grows up and becomes something ugly in your life. You fertilize it with doubt. You fertilize it with secrecy. You fertilize it with shame. And it becomes a thorn bush in your life. Don't let Satan, don't let your own shame, don't let your own pride keep you from reaching out for prayer and hope. You know, that's why I'm just so jazzed that we were able to pray for some of us in this place today. Because it can be really nerve-wracking to openly ask for prayer. Especially for all these people, you don't even know them. Don't let Satan back you into a corner. And tonight, if you're in a corner, if you've been backed into a corner and you don't know what to do and you don't know who to ask, I'm going to tell you, all you need to do is look and look around and turn around. And if you find yourself backed in a corner, if you look around, you'll notice there's a window right above your head. You just got to open it and jump out and you'll be free. Because you're only one question away, one turn away, one step away from getting back to God where you need. I don't care how far you ran from God, how deep you've tried to go to get away from him. You will always, always, always only be one step away from turning back to God. And that's all it took. That's all it took. Because in his deepest, darkest time, what did Elijah do? He still heard from God. He got things straight when he went and got back in God's will. Jesus said, look, people are going to hate you. People are going to try to separate you. People are going to try to pull you away. And it's going to, and it might weigh on you. But he says, look, the way you feel is the way I've felt before. I love the Bible says this. It says this. It says that our high priest, our God, understands exactly how we feel. Even though Jesus was perfect, the Bible says this. It says that he was tempted in every way. The feelings you feel, the temptations you feel, I don't know how, but Jesus understands it. You know, Pastor Richard, Jesus never sinned. And he No. The Bible says when he went on that cross, he became sin. It says he became sin. Every evil, wicked, wretched thing that's happened in this world, he felt it, he endured it, he went through it, every hurt, every pain, every piece of shame, he wore on his soul. So God knows exactly how you feel. I may not know. Look, I've never been high before. I've never been high before. And trust me, I don't think I'm missing out on anything. I'll tell you this, because I've seen high people before, and they look pretty stupid. It's true. It's true. That's why people take pictures of drunk people, because they look stupid. So I just chose not to look stupid, okay? Look, and people can say, well, Pastor Richard, I can't talk to you because you've never been drunk, done drugs before. Pastor Richard, I can't talk to you. I want to talk to somebody who's been. No, that's dumb. That's stupid. That's the stupidest thing in the entire world. I don't need to experience what you've experienced or know the hurts you. Because you know what? Look, I don't need to do that to talk into somebody's life. Because then women, ladies, you might as well just leave because I'm not a woman. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. So why are you going to listen to me? That's the dumbest thing in the world. And Jesus, I wouldn't talk to Jesus because Jesus was never married. So why am I talking to Jesus about my marriage? That's dumb. Jesus never been high before. Trust me, never been high before. That's not in the Bible. So why would I? No. I may not understand. Pastor Joe may not understand. Shoot, Alyssa, she may not understand. But the Jesus inside of me understands. And look, any problem you have, you're never alone. Because I may not understand, but Jesus understands. Because he became our sin. Was tempted in every way, yet still remained perfect. So you know what that means? He not only knows how you feel, but he knows how to get you out of it. Because he made it out of it, alive. Beat that cross down, conquered the grave, and he took care of business. Look, this world has a lot of hate for people. Don't get caught up in it. Don't let it separate you from who God's called you and created you to be, and don't let it stop you from running to God. Don't let it make you run away from God. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this in this place, because it'll happen. Is one day you'll do something dumb. It's just going to happen because we all do dumb stuff, even Pastor Richard. And here's what's going to happen. Listen to me here. Is we're going to get caught up in something. And the first thing you're going to say is, I can't go to church, because they'll know. You'll say, I can't go back to church because What if I walk in and all of a sudden the walls catch on fire because I'm so evil? You know, something like that. It's one of the things we want to do because we feel bad. I can't go back. I can't do this. I've let people down. No, that's a life in the pit of hell. If you mess up, the first thing you need to do is get around people who believe and love you through problems. The first thing you got to do. I can't tell my parents. They'll be just so disappointed. Well, I don't know how things go with your parents. But I want to believe that there's something greater than that. And more than that, too, is, you know, you have a set of pastors and youth leaders and workers. that are willing to see you through no matter what hell you put yourself through. We're committed to you as a church to love you through your issues. And I believe that for a lot of us in this place, your parents are too. Somebody out there is too. So if you guys got something like God tonight, let's give him a praise.